Welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited that you are here. As you can tell, I kind of got bored with the intro, with the little song and words and stuff. So I've kind of just kept it off the past couple episodes because I want to revamp it. I want to figure something else out. So I just have decided to not have anything and just, you know, go straight to me saying hello. So today's episode is on a book that I've mentioned a couple times that I would be doing a podcast episode about it, because one of the reasons is because it was sent to me, and another reason is because it's about to be released, and also it's on Amazon First Reads right now too. So if you have access to Amazon First Reads, then you'll have access to this. But if not, then this will be released on May 1st, which is a couple weeks away, a week away. Tomorrow's the 23rd? Yeah, so next week is May. That's really crazy. I can't believe that. This book today that we're going to talk about, it's going to be The Letters We Keep by Nisha Sharma. I don't have any book releases. I mean, there are going to be some book releases, others that I'm probably aware of or I could look up, but I just have been busy. And so if you want to go look and see if there's any new books coming out, I'm sure you could easily find them and you don't have to wait for me. I'm sure if there was one that was like coming out like this week that I was super interested in, then you would probably know about it. But because of that, nothing, I mean, on my radar. I am starting a new job tomorrow, though, on Tuesday, that I'm really excited about. I'm going to be doing benefits because that's kind of the industry that I have my career in. And then I do this on the side for fun. And eventually that would be amazing if I could do this as a career. And I just, you know, I'm proactive about things when I have like structure, because over the years I'm pretty sure I have ADHD. So it's like hard for me to really want to do things out of structure. So there's a lot more into that, but I'm not going to bore you with the details because it's not important. But anyways, the podcast isn't going to be affected. Nothing's going to be affected. I just wanted to let you know that I am starting a job, which is really exciting. Okay, well, let's get into this week's episode, because at the end, I'm going to be talking about my progress on Empire of Storms with Sarah J. Maas. So we will get to that at the end. Like I said, this book was gifted to me about a month ago. I think it was like at the beginning of April, maybe end of February, or end of March. And so I wanted to, again, do an episode when it's closer to it being released. And, so Nisha, I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right. Nisha, sorry if I'm not. This is her 8th book release, and it is like a coming of age. They are in college, like the two characters are in college. There's multiple points of view, mostly of just like it's the two main characters. We have Jesse and Ravi, and before I really get into like the actual book, there's a couple of things that I thought about was really cool about the author. So she is an author, activist, and PhD student, and she writes books about messy brown girls with complicated feelings. And she delights readers all over the world with her warm and relatable YA and contemporary romance novels that earn rave reviews, win awards, and hit best book lists. So this is actually her first new adult romance, which was interesting to know. And then it kind of goes into more about what the book is about, but I liked learning about her. She's very passionate about exploring nuanced representation in South Asian fiction young adult romance in 2019, which I appreciated because I don't know very much about the culture. I don't know very much about the terms that she uses in here, which that was one of the things that I had a hard time with, because there is some lingo that is used that I don't know what it means. So I kind of had to take like context clues about it and then just go from there. But she lives in Philly, which I love the Phillies. And like Philadelphia, I've never been, but I like all the teams surrounding it and I really want to go. And her husband is Alaskan, her Alaskan husband, and plethora of animals named after characters in literature, which is really cool. So yeah, a little bit, there's a little bit more about her. And then she has her Instagram, which is Nisha Writes, or Nisha, it's N-I-S-H-A Writes, and that's what it is on Twitter and TikTok as well. So if you want to follow her, and then she's all over Amazon, which is really cool. I want to learn more about her and about her writing and about the culture, and I think that this was a really good start to do that. So now we can get started into the book, which there's not going to be any spoilers. This is mostly just kind of around like the characters and a little bit of the plot, and kind of the storyline that goes with it, but no spoilers for kind of what happens at the end and where they end up. Because I thought that was really interesting, a cool kind of twist at the end. So again, we have Jesse and Ravi. His family is actually legendary in like the tech industry. So he has a lot of pressure on him to get the best education, to pick the right internship, to pick the right position in his father's or brother's companies. This is Jesse's first year at Hartzeller University. And again, with kind of like the family thing with Ravi, like his brother started like a big app. They really wanted him to go to like Harvard or MIT. So a lot of expectations, a lot of pressure on him. And they, throughout the book, are wanting him to pick an internship at one of their companies. And he's just pushing it off. He's pushing it off. He doesn't know what he wants to do. He doesn't want to go into tech or engineering. Like, he really wants to go into writing, but he knows that his family won't approve and they'll have a hard time. So that's one of his main things that he goes through this book is, do I follow my own dreams? Do I follow what my family wants? What do I do, basically? And with Jessie, she just started college. So she is very dedicated. She's very much wanting to build her life the best that she can so that she can take care of her parents and put them in a better financial situation than what they are. And her parents own a store, I believe. I can't remember what kind of store, if it's a store or a restaurant. But she is really dedicated and doesn't want to go out and party. She doesn't want to do anything other than like study and work on school things. But she does have her new roommate there that is like, hey, let's go to this party. Come on, like, let's go to this party. So she does decide to go, but she immediately like is in it and is like, I really don't want to be here. So she decides to leave early. And she actually runs into Ravi and she doesn't know who he is. Everyone else does. Everyone at, honestly, the whole university knows who he is, knows his family, knows like he's rich and handsome and just like everyone wants to know him. And so she's like, don't know you, don't care. Like, I'm going home. And he's like, is someone like walking you home? Like, let me walk you home. Like, you shouldn't walk home by yourself, which is very sweet. But also it's like, you're a stranger. Like, it's kind of sus that a stranger is wanting to walk you home. So I would have done the same thing as her and been like, no, I'm not going to do that. But she does like see him kind of look out for her as she's walking, which I kind of would have been creeped out. I don't know if she realizes if he is who he is yet. I can't remember if she's like, oh, you are Ravi, I'm pretty sure she does, because I think someone like calls his name and is like, hey, what are you doing or whatever. And so she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, no, thank you. And they automatically bicker a bit, which it wasn't like a witty banter or witty bicker. It was kind of like a, she's being really mean and he doesn't understand why she's being mean. And it was an interesting conversation. Like, it kind of just showed, like, yes, she is still young, and she is, you see her character develop throughout the story, because she is really young, and you see her start to really not judge people, like, not do an instant judgment, and to give people time to really prove who they are, and I thought that was really cool. So they do realize that first week that they do have a class together, and they need to write a paper about their family name or a name and legacy of someone that they value. And everyone starts to talk about this tower. It's, let me see. It's the legend of the Davidson Tower, where apparently more than 50 years ago, two students in love disappeared in a devastating fire. And so a lot of people, I guess, have wanted to write on this fire, or write on this tower, and like the legacy, the names that go into it. And so they're really wanting to as well, like she is, but her and Robbie, they haven't talked at this point, and so she really doesn't know what she wants to do. And she also goes to a study room in like the basement or something, and she finds out that it's Ravi's study room. Like, he always goes there. And so they kind of get into this competition of booking the study room out and see who can beat who whenever. And they kind of get into like this little competition. And at one point, she kind of like runs into his friends, and I don't know if he had gotten there or not, but when he does, he hears that his friends have like found her, because they know that he's been spending more time with her around like studying and everything like that. And so he runs over and he learns that they dared her to go into this tower where it's abandoned, that if she were to win and stay in there the longest, then she would be able to have the study room. And he is like, what are you talking about? So he goes in after her, because she's like, no, I want the study room. I'm going to win the study room. And it's really creepy. And they go through this kind of like library that's in this tower. And I don't know if she was hiding under this desk, or she like looked under this desk and there was like a hidden drawer. It led to like a book, like a fake book that had all these letters in. And they're like, oh my gosh, are these the letters from these missing students that went missing in like the fire? Like, did they die? And so that leads them on to this whole research and kind of discovering who was in these letters and how it related to the tower, how it related to the fire. And they, like, the people in the letters are like star-crossed lovers, and so you get to learn like their story throughout every chapter as well. And they want to do this project together, her and Ravi, about these letters for this project. And so they work closer and closer together. They start to have feelings together, and they have like their own little romance, and really starting to dig deeper into the letters and leading it to different members that are still on campus and those who aren't. And some people don't want them to look into these letters. And you just kind of find out all these different fun facts and information about how like Ravi and Jesse are growing together. It's just super cute. And like the mystery that it brings, And these letters are in the 1970s. So not only do you hear about Jesse and Ravi's story, but you hear about this woman and her star-crossed lover and how they came together and how their love was forbidden with, like, their cultures and how they worked through it. And, of course, there's, like, things that Jesse and Ravi go through with their relationship and what splits them apart, what gets them back together. The whole thing is super interesting, and the journey from the different levels of society and how they worked with it, because she is very kind of low income, middle class, while he is very high class with rich parents, rich society, and how they work through it. And also just like the blend of Asian culture that goes into the book was very interesting because I don't know very much. I was able to learn more about them and about history of like the college and history of the cultures and lingo, like I said earlier. It was just very, very interesting the whole time, and the circling back around with the characters and their love for each other and how they kind of built it on these letters, and then there's like a twist at the end that I thought was very interesting that brings it all together as well, and it was great. I enjoyed it. It was a very quick read, but overall enjoyable. And I really appreciated it. And so I'm glad that it was sent to me, because it's not a book that I would, that would catch my eye to read, because I'm not in kind of that culture, and I wouldn't have been able to see it, if that makes sense. So I'm glad that it was sent, that I could read it, and I had that opportunity. So yeah, that was The Letters We Keep, which I loved. So definitely pick it up on the 1st of May. It's either the 1st of May or the 7th of May. I think it's the 1st of May. So next week, in 2 weeks, that's when it's coming out. Definitely look into it, because it was very, very fun. So now I got my actual book out of Empire of Storms, because I, again, usually listen to it, and I figured out that I am not consistent with streaming, that I don't know if I'm just going to do it like once a month. I don't know at this point, but I do want to keep you updated, because I am so excited about this, and I'm so excited that I've continued with it. I am Empire of Storms, which is book 5, and I'm on chapter 44, and I haven't had a lot of time to listen to it this past week, but I loved it. Like, oh, I can't remember if I said it last week. I think I did. But okay, just so you know, if you haven't read these books, there's going to be a lot of spoilers moving forward. So if you don't want any spoilers of these books, definitely stop listening to now, because I am just going to dive deep in. So anyways, starting now. I'm pretty sure last week I said that I got to the part where Rowan and Aelin were like having spicy time, like on the beach. I was like blushing. I could feel myself blushing. I was in the car by myself, but I was like, am I even allowed to listen to this? Like, this is spicy. Like, this is a lot. Like, I'm fine reading it, you know, but listening, I was like, oh, I don't think I'm old enough for this. Like, I don't know. But yeah, they just got through kind of fighting off the armada of like the Valg princes in the bay with Rolf. And I freaking love Lysandra. Like, that was so smart. Like, oh gosh, sometimes Aelin freaking annoys me, but she is so smart in how she plans things. Like, she had Lysandra be a water dragon so that the one group, like, culture, whoever, like, Rolf is protecting, I can't remember their name, so that they would say, like, oh, this is the sign of the times, or this is, like, of the prophecy, like, we need to come and help. Like, oh my gosh, so smart. And then for her to be able to fight those wyverns in the ocean, like, Oh my gosh, so smart. And to be able to guide them to like crash into these ships and to take more people out, just so smart. These characters are so smart, like, and so strategic. And I loved how Adian, like, she was still in, like, her form. She was kind of, like, almost dying. And he's like, I'm going to marry you. Like, I'm going to take care of you. And I'm like, oh, Adian, like, that's so cute. Oh, my gosh, I loved it. And then, yeah, the freaking spicy part. I got really frustrated because when... At the very beginning, honestly, Aelin, like, was tapping into her power, and she took all of Rowan's power. I need to remember what I said last week about all of this, because I don't think I had gotten to this point. But for her to take Rowan's power, like, I understand, but she, like, sucked it all out. She didn't even control herself. And then freaking the goddess Diana got a hold of her and was, like, taking over. I just was so mad that I'm like, come on. Like, I know she's new to power and I know she still doesn't have a lot of control over things, but I'm like, stop. Like, because there was the point where she's like, oh, I looked deeper into the well and all this power. It's like, okay, at that point, just stop then. Like, you already have Rowan's power. You kind of just ruined this whole plan that you all had. Like, she makes these plans, but then she ruins them because she can't control herself and destroyed, like, Rolf's ships and killed some of his guys. That I'm like, come on. Like, oh, it made me so mad. And she, like, depleted Rowan. Just, I was upset about it. That I'm like, once you hit that wall, why couldn't you just stop? Like, I didn't understand that. So I did realize that I was looking through Reddit, maybe, or Twitter. I can't remember. But I haven't looked ahead in the other books at all. And someone was saying, like, oh, I love Kale. And I'm like, oh, well, he hasn't been in this book at all, but that's because he has his own book that's coming up. I didn't realize that the next book, which I don't have, actually, the next book is all about him, which I'm like, okay, I can get behind that. Like, I'm excited about it because they're going to need a lot more forces to be able to kill Arwen or whatever his name is. So yeah, I'm halfway through this book. I need to keep reading. I need to keep listening because it is getting so good. Like, this whole book has been very good, actually. There's been a lot going on. So I need to keep going. And I hope that Aelin freaking continues to grow up and to get a hold of her powers. Oh my gosh. Okay. Speaking of all of that. Aelin and Lorcan, we know I love them so much, and she finally told him who she was because those witches came and they're at the carnival and he like killed them and he's like, tell me who you are. So they just barely left from the carnival and he is, I don't know, like, I think he's pretty obsessed with her. Like, because he's like, oh, I guess I have to follow you. Like, I love it. It's like a slow burn, but also they're like, ooh, no. But I'm like, yes, please. Also, Manon, she just barely found Aelin and the group after being, like, attacked and everything. I don't know where the 13 is at this point, but yes, she did just find them. And so she's been kind of going through, like, healing, and Dorian has been talking to her, which I love Dorian and Manon. I hope that they do something, you know. So yeah, she got pretty injured. Oh, let's see what else. Yeah, she found them. I just have been loving it because things are actually happening and it just is so good. I'm trying to think if there's any other characters. Lysandra is badass. I'm so glad she didn't die. I don't know why I was under the impression that she died at one point. Or maybe she does. But, like, in the first three books, like, I thought she did die, but she didn't. I think I was thinking of Dorian's, little girlfriend, like the healer. I'm pretty sure I was thinking of her. But I'm really glad that Lysandra isn't dead, that she is still alive and she's kick-ass. She's a shapeshifter. Like, she's just so cool. Like, I just love her. And I love that Adian is like, I'm going to marry you. Overall, love it. I am so glad that I've continued to listen to it and that people have been like, no, please keep going. Because there was a point where I'm like, do I still want to keep going? Even though I did that before and I didn't keep going. But now I'm like, I'm in it. I'm in it to win it. Let's do this. I'm ready. And yeah, just really excited for it. So I haven't picked up any books lately, which I've been really proud of myself. But lately, as in like the past week. Maybe 2 weeks. So I'm doing pretty good. Very proud of myself. Yeah, but other than that, everything is going good. And I've loved these books. I'm not reading anything currently besides this. Because I've finished all the ones that I wanted to so far. That's what it was. I don't have my phone. But it's like Court of something. I finished the first book and I put a little thing on my Instagram / like Twitter / Threads. I've been really into Twitter and Threads right now. So I've been putting like mini book reviews up on there. So if you want to follow me on there, that would be awesome because then you can get like first little reviews. Queen of Roses by Briar Bolin, I think it is. I read the first book. It was pretty good. I was confused at the end. There was like a plot twist that I didn't understand where it came in through the like the world building. So it's like a good enough book that I'm continuing on to the second one. I've started reading it, but I don't know if I can recommend the series yet. I'm not like super jazzed on it. My sister is reading The Two Twisted Crowns though, which is the second book of The One Dark Window, because I'm freaking obsessed with those two books. They were so freaking good. I keep saying freaking. And I'm so excited to do an episode on it because it was so good. I did finish Broken Flames, which that one I found on TikTok, and it was kind of like a retelling of like the Avatar Airbender, not like a retelling, but like, so they have like the four elements and she is kind of like Korra, like Katara, and he is kind of like Zuko, like he's fire, she's water, and it's kind of like an arranged marriage. It was good. Definitely needs work with a couple different things, but it was a good first book. And it was a cliffhanger. So I'm excited for the next book because yeah, it was very solid. So yeah, I finished that. Oh, I just got notified. August 13th, Jennifer Armentrout is coming out with the fourth book of A Flesh and Fire. It's called Born of Blood and Ash. Interesting. Let's see. So when Sarah is finally free of Collis, which we know about that, and back with those she loves, not everything is calm. Memories of all she endured still haunt her, but Sarah finally has hope for a future with the other half of her heart and soul. Nyctos desires, loves, and accepts every part of her, even the monstrous bits she still battles. More than ever, Sarah and Ash, which is Nyctos, have everything under the realms to fight for, and Nyctos has no doubt Sarah is fit to be the queen of the gods, but she must find that faith within herself if they hope to convince the other courts to support them against Collis and make Elysium and the mortal realm better, safer places for all. But as Sarah begins to piece together the importance of her bloodline and the true meaning behind the foreboding prophecy, it becomes clear that everything that has happened and is yet to come is much bigger than Collis and his dark obsessions. They cannot help but wonder exactly how much influence the Fates have had and what their ultimate goal is. What Sarah does know for sure is that they can trust very few, including her. What? That is weird. A battle between the gods is brewing, and heartbreaking losses are imminent with the true primal of death strengthening. What does that mean? There better not be some good characters dying. I would be so pissed. With a family of the heart willing to battle by their side, can Sarah and Nyctos stop Colas before he destroys the realms, or will it all disappear in a fury inferno of blood and ash? Which, does it mean that it's going to jump forward in the timeline? Because we know that Colas gets put under, like he gets put into the sleep, because that's when it gets to like the current time in the Blood and Ash series that he is like awakened, you know, by like that one queen. So I don't know. I'm glad it's finally the last book though, because how many other books are there going to be about the Blood and Ash series, which we've talked about before. So I'm glad that it was put up there so I can see when it's coming out. So August, it's the fourth book, final book, hopefully. Oh my gosh, it better be the last book. So yeah, there's that. There you go. Not that we super care about that series, because it's just kind of gone downhill, but that's okay. That's okay. We are going to work with it, and of course I'm going to read it and give you all the pointers so you don't have to read it if you don't want to. But yeah, other than that, I hope that you guys have a great week. I hope that wherever you want to follow me on social media, that would be awesome. And wherever you listen to this episode, if you could rate and review, that would be great as well. It really helps me out. And other than that, I love you, and I hope that you have the best time, and I will talk to you next week.